Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
The book is AD, After Disclosure, a new edition with the authors Richard Dolan and Bryce Abel. We have Gene and Chris here, and Chris was telling me that they're taking odds now in Las Vegas on Disclosure. What's going on here?
Yeah, evidently they are, and this comes from online casinos. And the question is, what are the odds that a U.S. president will announce a discovery of alien life from the Oval Office, or in a way, a form of disclosure? And here are the odds. Drum roll, please. If this is going to occur in 2012, the odds are 16 to 1. 2013 and 2014 and 2015 are 33 to 1. 2016 and 17 are 25 to 1. 2018 and 19 are 22 to 1. And then after 2020, it's 2 to 1.
Oh. Wow.
So there you go.
I'd like to, I mean, those are fun to hear, and certainly Rich and I speculated about that ourselves during our process, but I'd like to know who came up with those odds, and I'd like to know what their experience really is in this whole field, because
well,
obviously it's that's good cocktail chatter, but I don't know that that's accurate. I think the point that Rich has made and was making earlier about just the level of technology that we live surrounded by now, the blanket of technology that we didn't used to have that is available to average people, the question may not be even the right question anymore. We're gradually moving from a place where the question is, will somebody tell us disclosure, which would be the sort of the top-down school? But we may have more of a grassroots disclosure going on where the people are going to be ahead of the disclosure. And instead of disclosure, you might want to call what happens in the future confirmation.
A point well taken, Bryce, and I think that's really important. That's a really important thing to note. Chances are, if a form of disclosure happens, I think you guys mentioned this at the top of the show, the government's hand is going to be forced. Something will happen that will force them to respond.
They have no motivation. Whoever's got the secret, this privatized ultra-elite group, let's just say, they've got no motivation for giving this up. The secret's gone for so long. All they can do is lose by revealing it. But the thing is, they're not the only factor in the equation. That's the thing.
Well, then wouldn't the factors in the equation also be, and I want to get back to what you were talking about in the previous segment with the history of this thing, the other factors would be the oil industry, certainly, organized religion, any technology that's going to be disrupted by the revelation we have this advanced technology. And the other question being, if we've recovered crashed saucers,
It's an enormously complicated subject with a lot of moving parts, and that's why we really need to start almost with the definition of terms. What is disclosure? You know, for our purposes, we said disclosure was when somebody in a position of authority, could be a president, could be a pope, could be a UN secretary general, could be the head of the Chinese government, doesn't really matter. Somebody who's in an official position confirms that at least some of these things that have been reported as unidentified in the skies above us are not built by us and operated by us, but they are operated by somebody else. Just that would be disclosure. So I thought it was kind of funny because Rich and I did put out an earlier version of the book where our subtitle was AD After Disclosure, The People's Guide to Life After Contact, because our feeling was the people who will need to know most about it and that they'll be the ones handling it, the government's hand will be forced. Our new publisher retitled it AD After Disclosure, When the Government Finally Reveals the Truth About Alien Contact. Look, we're happy to sell books. We think that's a great title, too. However, that's only one of the possibilities for how disclosure is going to happen and how we're going to go from a BC world, which is before confirmation, to an AD world, which is after disclosure.
And the other big question is here is, what if ET lands here and takes that out of our hands? Rich, you were talking earlier about the early history that perhaps President Truman knew what was going on. This is when they recovered supposedly the wreckage at Roswell and maybe at Aztec. What about Eisenhower? He was very tight in the military there. So did President Eisenhower know the truth, at least while he was president?
Yeah, we're really going on speculation and guesswork here with all of these, of course, so let's just say that. But I think with Eisenhower, it certainly looks like he was briefed and knew about this. What you see during Eisenhower's administration in a lot of respects is that he appears to have lost control over the national security complex itself. He certainly lost control over the United States' nuclear strike capability. That's a whole different topic we don't need to go into, but he did. He was actually shocked, I mean, truly shocked and distressed in 1960, right at the end of his presidency, when he learned about how this that whole thing was going down.
Is that why he gave that speech about the military-industrial complex?
I think that was part of it, yeah. I think that the strike capability was a big part of it, that because he was horrified when he discovered that the U.S. plan was to literally to blow the Soviet Union into pieces and the entire half of the Western Hemisphere was just going to go away. He had no idea. He had absolutely no idea. But I think regarding the UFO issue, because this is a big hole in our official history, of course. It's the biggest hole in our official history. You've got this huge thing going on, and yet there's no official confirmation about any of it. So really what we have to do is infer certain things. Eisenhower, I think, knew, but how much control he had, I don't know. With Kennedy, I think that there is reason to believe that Kennedy knew about this as well, and I personally am someone who believes in the credibility of the famous CIA Marilyn Monroe document where this is dated the day before she died, was murdered, in my opinion, where it discusses her conversations that she had in pillow talk with the president about beings from outer space. So I think Kennedy knew about this.
Well, remember also, Gene, the two-hour pilot film for Dark Skies is completely about how John Kennedy is going to tell the truth about UFOs in his second term and is stopped from doing that.
Yeah.
And that's the entire pilot.
Is there any reason to actually believe in the real world that that's what happened? He was going to say something about UFOs in his second term, so with the help of Johnson, they got rid of him.
Well, I'm going to let Rich answer the state of what we know, but I will say that when Brent Friedman, my co-creator, and I dreamed that up for Dark Skies in 1994 and 1995, we basically were trying to create the unified field theory of conspiracy. So we said, let's take UFOs and John F. Kennedy and let's put them in an atom collider and see what we get. And what we got was the Dark Skies pilot. In the years since, I've seen more and more material talking about how that might have happened, but I was not aware of it at the time. And I think, Rich, now you said you do believe that it actually is a possibility.
I do. With Kennedy, I don't want to go too far afield, but this is fascinating. With Kennedy, it's like the Agatha Christie murder mystery, Murder on the Orient Express, where like everyone did it, everyone killed the guy. And in Kennedy's case, I think everyone had a motive. You know, there were so many reasons why Kennedy was a problem, but I think the UFO issue is probably a factor in here. I think the reason he was taken out is simply because it became clear that he was not a reliable player on so many fronts that I think it was perceived that he was a true enemy to the established order and that he had to go. So my sense is that it wasn't just over Cuba, it wasn't just over the Fed, it wasn't just over Vietnam, it wasn't just over UFOs, it was over all of these things when someone just said, this guy is a serious problem, the hell with him, let's get rid of him.
Would that also explain what would have happened to Robert Kennedy because he was Jack's right-hand man?
Well, Robert Kennedy was a main character in Dark Skies, appears in 6 episodes, and we think so. We had Kennedy being the guy that hands a piece of Roswell wreckage to JFK and thus getting him killed. But you know, that's a drama. I just wanted to add one thing in here that you had mentioned. You said if E.T. were to land here, that would make all bets off. I just want to put one thing out there. There is one thing, you know, Rich said we have to infer a lot of things. There is one thing that we should definitely infer. If there is one thing that the Secret Keepers and the others have agreed on for 6 or 7 decades and maybe longer, it is that it ought to be a secret. Because both sides, our Secret Keepers and the others, have had it within their ability and technology and doability to end the whole thing publicly whenever they wanted to. We could have called the news conference and said, by the way, they're here, and they could have done a big flyby that was incontrovertible evidence, and they haven't done that. So we know for sure that secrecy seems to be the one point of agreement in the Venn diagram that includes the others and the managers of the secret.
We have Bryce Zabel. We have Richard Dolan with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast. Ray Perkins,
a reclusive veteran burned out from the Gulf War, lives tortured by relentless, perplexing nightmares. Nightmares of a horrific battle in deep space and of a mysterious woman suffering in agony for her devastated world. A woman not yet born, calling across centuries to him. Then, a coincidence leads him to his destiny, his chance to alter the universe. Attack of the Rockoids. The former fiction editor for Star Wars and Indiana Jones, Robert Simpson, writes, "The soul of the novel Attack of the Rockoids lies in its heart and passion for building a convincing tale of a love that spans a galaxy. A thrilling story. Attack of the Rockoids is available now. Read a sample chapter and get a special discount off of the cover price at our website, rockoids.com. That's rockoids.com. Attack of the Rockoids, a novel in the grand science fiction tradition."
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Attention, information in this 1 minute message could save your life. Don't wait for the next emergency to happen. Act now to be prepared. Now, more than ever, civilians and communities must communicate with family, friends, and neighbors in the event of civil unrest, natural disasters, or other emergencies. That's why there's CivilDispatch.com. CivilDispatch.com is a universal system that can be used for a wide array of urgent notification alerts. Weather emergencies, civil unrest, emergency responders, amber alerts, school or business closings, any need-to-know situation. CivilDispatch.com is an emergency dispatch communication system, allowing anyone to quickly and easily send and instantaneously track emergency email and text alert notifications. CivilDispatch.com gives you the power of enterprise alerting without the enterprise cost. Don't find yourself unprepared. Learn more and become a member at CivilDispatch.com. That's CivilDispatch.com, civilian emergency dispatch system. Peace through preparedness.
Did you know that 50% of heart attacks are brought on by infections? Did you know that hospitals are breeding grounds for antibiotic-resistant bugs like MRSA? The environment is infected with parasites, and the mild winter means ticks with Lyme disease, mosquitoes with West Nile virus, and cold and flu viruses will be on the rise. Protect yourself with Nature's Natural Antiparasitic, Antiviral, Antifungal, Antibiotic, Allicin, the Heart of Garlic. Get concentrated protection with Alli-C and Alli-Van from AffinityHealthProducts.com. One capsule of Alli-C equals 40 cloves of garlic or 100 garlic pills. With no garlic breath, Alli-Van has Allicin in spray, liquid, and cream forms with three times more strength than leading brands and costs less. Go to AffinityHealthProducts.com, spelled A-F-F-I-N-I-T-Y, HealthProducts.com, or call 877-888-7126. That's 877-888-7126. Protect yourself with Alli-C or Alli-Van from AffinityHealthProducts.com.
This is Leslie Kane, and I'm with the Coalition for Freedom of Information, and you are listening to the Paracast.
The book is AD, After Disclosure, What Might Happen and How the Secret's Being Kept, with Bryce Abel and Rich Dolan, authors of the book. Now, either of you can take this response, and that is whistleblowers. Wouldn't you think in 70 years there's some whistleblowers around who have disclosed a secret? Do you just make them look like idiots, or do you have like a Rich Doty come in there and spread some misinformation to hide what's really going on?
Yeah, exactly. There's been no shortage of people over the decades who have had very, very profound revelations about this topic, and they're credible. I think when a lot of researchers have interviewed many of these individuals, many of them do appear credible. I've interviewed some. Bryce has interviewed some. I think what happened is in the late 70s is when the disinformation spin really got underway. And honestly, it was to fight a two-pronged attack on secrecy that was taking place at that time. One was the newly energized Freedom of Information Act, which prior to 1975, 76 was really a non-entity in the UFO field. And after that period became very, very big, really during the Carter years. So it became possible to petition the government for UFO-related documents. And it's easy to forget, but at the time, this was a huge, huge thing because all the government agencies for years had said, no, no, we don't do UFOs. It's not our purview. We don't. And then suddenly, thousands of pages of documents come out showing that all of that was an absolute lie. And in fact, some of those documents showed the situation in a very grave light indeed. So you've got that as a threat to the secrecy. And on the other prong, you have the crash retrieval phenomenon that was then just coming out, most famously Roswell, but not only Roswell. There were leaks about individuals who had seen films of alien autopsies, all this in the late 70s. There were leaks about by doctors who claimed to have performed an autopsy or autopsies. So all of these were coming out. So if you're on the inside, if you're in with the in crowd and you've got to contain this, then yes, you need to have some kind of disinformation out there. You need to throw some truth out there mixed with lies that become very easy to identify lies, and then you just, you know, tar the whole field with this. Yeah. And I think that is what has happened.
Gene, a lot of this goes back to, again, a definitional thing. What is evidence? And evidence isn't what it used to be. Photos in the 50s were better evidence because the only way that you could actually fake it, you had to throw that hubcap in the air or suspend it by a piece of string. But you didn't have Photoshop. We have fantastic fakes right now both video and in photos that are out there. Documents aren't what they used to be. Documents can be faked, and people do that all the time. I've done it for Dark Skies to create documents that would be on the show, for example. I think the thing that when we talk about whistleblowers, it would be great if a WikiLeaks could be counted upon to do this. And in fact, they talked about having UFO documents, but my knowledge, they never produced them. And even if they did, I wonder what it would mean, because let me just ask a hypothetical here. Let's say that George Herbert Walker Bush, Bush the First, is on his deathbed soon. And I don't wish him ill at all, but eventually he's going to be called because he's at that age. Let's say he's on his deathbed, or Colin Powell, someone else who's getting up in years, and let's say that either of those people who had extreme classification, Bush being the head of the CIA and implying that he's known something about UFOs, let's say that either one of them said, and by the way, I just want to get this off my chest before I die, that whole UFO thing, that's all real, you should check it out. Would that solve the issue? Would it? I don't think so. I think what would happen is instantly there would be a whole spin about how George Herbert Walker Bush wasn't himself anymore. He was in some kind of dementia situation, and people put this into his head, and it would be rolled over again. We've had all kinds of great people blow the whistle. Edgar Mitchell is the bravest man around to land Apollo 14 on the moon after Apollo 13 nearly didn't make it back, and he doesn't get treated seriously. So I wonder about whistleblowers. If it's going to be a whistleblower, he's going to have to come forward with the documents, with the photos, with the corroboration, and with other people before the mainstream media will take that seriously.
I have a question here. What about other governments? It stands to reason that the old Soviet Union, Russia, possibly China, possibly Brazil, is sitting on some pretty incredible evidence. And what do you guys think of the odds of one of these governments, instead of doing this kind of whitewashing incremental disclosure that we've been seeing for the past 10 years, what if we have a major whistleblower, spill the beans from Brazil or from Russia? Right. What is the likelihood of that happening?
It's something I wonder about. Bryce and I both have discussed this. This is in our book, too. It's a possibility for sure. But if you were to be that government, let's say you're Brazil, and you make the decision that you're going to be the one to tell the world, you'd better be very careful about it, because you can be sure that the United States has its own intel assets and its own espionage on you. There's no way that you're going to be able to make this decision and not be at risk of the National Security Agency knowing about it, because their ears are everywhere.
Now, would that mean, therefore, that occasionally our security people go to possible loose cannons and remind them that they would be much safer if they didn't disclose the secret?
Well, sure. Think of it this way. Well, yeah, I mean, when there have been known crash retrieval, there was a UFO that went down over Bolivia in the year 1978. And we know about this. We have some documents about it. And we know that the Bolivians sent a military team to investigate it. And we also know, gee whiz, that two key American officers, advisors, went on site and appear to have taken control of the whole operation. So that here you have, you know, another nation where something important goes, but here come the Americans. So the United States military complex has always been first among equals, among its allies, always. And I think on an international basis, this is the case. Now, but with other nations like Russia, with China, even maybe with India, for all we know, or Brazil, some of these nations are big enough that they can legitimately be considered rivals, possibly in some of these matters. And what type of behind-the-scenes relationships there are, well, we don't really know. But there are some stories that have come through that indicate that there is some level of quiet collaboration behind the scenes. And the real question is, are the governments themselves, the official governments, even the ones really in charge of this?
Well, you know, there may be quiet competition as well. I just also wanted to point out, Leslie Kane wrote a fabulous book a year or two ago where basically she's putting out the testimony of various people from around the world who have been, in fact, whistleblowers, and that didn't blow the lid off the whole thing. I remain convinced that it's possible that what will break the logjam is another government making moves toward disclosure because of reasons that make sense to them. And if the United States gets a hold of that, I would think our first thing would be to try to get them to back down. But you can't necessarily get Brazil or China to back down. You might have to go first.
And would it be possible here for all these separate parties to have at one time in the past gotten together and say, you know what, we have to have one policy. Whatever differences we have, we've got to have a singular policy about UFOs so that they don't, as they say, release the truth. We'll get into more of possible truths about UFOs and disclosure with Bryce Abel and Richard Dolan. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also, print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
You may snicker when you hear this message, but you won't laugh after you experience the best-kept health secret ever, camel milk. Camel milk is loaded with health benefits far superior to other milk. Camel milk has antibacterial, antiviral, and anti-tumor properties, is rich in B vitamins, and camel milk is 3 times higher in vitamin C than cow's milk, and 10 times higher in iron. And camel milk contains 52 units of insulin-like proteins per liter, effectively lowering blood sugar levels. Many of our members testified that drinking camel milk reversed diabetes and greatly improved autism. Camel milk is easily digested by those who are lactose and beta casein intolerant and comes fresh or frozen from your trusted local family farm, shipped on dry ice to preserve freshness. Go to CamelMilkForSale.com now and look under products and pricing for the spring special with free bonus pints. That's CamelMilkForSale.com, CamelMilkForSale.com.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP. As slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Visit GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
Love gardening but don't love seeing your hard work destroyed by wildlife? Then use the number one most effective deer and rabbit repellent you can buy, PlantSkid. PlantSkid repellent protects gardens, trees, and landscaping by emitting an odor that browsing animals associate with predators. So animals avoid plants before they nibble, not after. PlantSkid is made in the U.S. from non-toxic, 100% organic, environment, and pet-friendly ingredients. Other repellents wash off in the rain, not PlantSkid. It's guaranteed to outlast all other repellents. PlantSkid was the first animal repellent to be OMRI listed organic and now comes in liquid spray, powder concentrate, or easy-to-use granular. Just sprinkle around your garden. For proven protection from deer, rabbits, squirrels, and other small rodents, use PlantSkid. Member tested and recommended by the National Home Gardening Club. Find a dealer near you at PlantSkid.com. That's PlantSkydd.com. Ask about our new vole repellent when you call 800-252-6051. That's 800-252-6051. PlantSkid. Proven plant protection. Guaranteed. Or your money back.
Hi, this is Ted Phillips, listening to the Paracast, and it's as good as it gets, believe me.
We're talking about the book AD, After Disclosure, with Bryce Abel and Richard Dolan with Gene and Chris on the Paracast. And one of the things I suggested as a hypothetical, strictly hypothetical, is it possible that different governments around the world did, say, in the late 40s, early 50s, get together and say, look, this secret is too much for one government. We've got to work together to keep it a secret. I'm not thinking, you know, that necessarily Russia was involved, but say the U.S. and the U.K., things like that.
Yeah, I think that's very likely. Look at the formation of NATO in 1949. You already have a fairly unified military command structure that early on among the powerful military European Western nations. So you've got close military collaboration right from the beginning. So I think it makes perfect sense that the UFO matter would be considered.
You know, I look at this, from a lot of different points of view, I guess, but one of them is being a dramatist. I'm better at thinking a scenario through. Let's imagine, for example, we've seen all these airport closings in China. All right, so let's imagine that some UFO of some kind is hovering over a Chinese airport and they shut it down. What would be their first thought? Well, if it's not theirs, if the Chinese know it's not theirs, they would probably think it was ours. So they'd be pretty upset with us. If it turned out that our president got briefed on that and said, well, whose is it? And our guys had to tell our president it's not ours, then suddenly the idea that something is over a Chinese airport that's not the U.S. manufacturer and not the Chinese manufacturer is out there in the world, and the Chinese could independently come to their own conclusion that it does them no good to protect us, and they might as well share their feelings about it because they look at things differently, which would then cause us in the chess game of disclosure to have to think about what we thought about it. So I think what Rich and I, as we went back and forth over this year-long development process, with a lot of these things, we came to the conclusion of it depends. There's going to be a scenario somehow, some way, that's going to involve everything that we've talked about and then a few other things, from whistleblowers to documents to actual sightings to foreign governments, etc. And that stew of news and technology and secrecy is all going to come together at some point, someday, somehow, and yield the truth, because right. It really can't do anything other than that. You can't have all those things going and have it lead to secrecy, because we've had secrecy. It's going to lead to something different. That's the nature of history.
Let me add one thing here, because, I mean, there's so many AD, after disclosure issues, I'm sure we all want to discuss. But in terms of ending the secret, I would just suggest that we look at the very big picture. And the very big picture is the technological and social and political trajectories that we are on as a society. Go back 150 years and look at human civilization. Look at the most advanced part of human civilization, and you'll see a society of horses and wooden carts and railroads. That's where we were. And we go from that situation to one in really the blink of a cosmic eye, essentially, where we have this complete kind of connectivity with iPhones and Facebook and YouTube, and the new MacBook Pro is coming out, and we're just blowing ourselves out of the water every few years with new technology. You go and look into the future, be a futurist for a moment here, and look at what a lot of these guys are saying about the future of artificial intelligence. We are, by a lot of those estimates, 1 to 2 generations away from your computer being able to have a fully intelligent, sentient conversation with you, and maybe even more intelligently than a normal human being. So you might have computers with a relative IQ of 200 or 300 or more, for all we know. And this is not make-believe fantasy. This is, you've got brilliant computer scientists who really believe that this is about to happen. If that is the case, and then all of the other developments that we're going to be having in the next 20, 30 years, can we really think, honestly, that we are not going to be any farther along in cracking this nut than we are today? I think that's ridiculous to think that we're going to be in the same place. We've been talking about WikiLeaks. WikiLeaks, which did not exist 10 years ago because it couldn't exist 10 years ago. There was no global infrastructure for it, but there is now.
And if you look at the event this week with the WWDC from Apple Incorporated, everything they work for was the interconnectedness of all their hundreds of millions of devices.
Exactly.
Online, right. With Facebook, with Twitter, all this integration with cars. They've got 9 automakers now going to stick Siri, the talking personal assistant, going to be in your car. So everybody's going to have it.
Yeah.
These are the largest car makers on the planet are going to incorporate this. I had a question which kind of goes back to the early supposed recoveries of wreckage, and that is alien technology. Now, we have that book, The Day After Roswell, which is very, very controversial, from Colonel Corso. But the argument then is, if we recovered something from an advanced civilization back in the 1940s, is there any evidence anywhere that we'd learned anything from it?
Yes, I think. I don't know what we would consider evidence here, Gene. It's a fair question. But I think the likelihood, Corso himself claimed that a number of developments came out of that original crash retrieval. He talked about fiber optics, I believe. He talked about high tensile fibers. Trying to remember, he might have mentioned laser technology. I think all of this is realistic, actually. I would also add improvements to integrated circuits, and maybe solid-state technology would probably be along that as well. I mean,
but part of the problem has been, Rich, is that you can show a parallel, realistic development path of all these technologies here on Earth without the possibility of alien intervention, or did they basically go back and change history?
I think the latter, actually. You can go into the history of the transistor, go into Wikipedia, and you'll see a very sort of logical history of that, or of integrated circuits, same thing. And there's no reference, of course, to Roswell, right? It's all explained here, but really think about it. If Bell Labs were one of the earliest contractors involved in studying Roswell tech, how unlikely is it that certain ideas would have been developed there that would then be translated into patents and profitability? And, of course, they're not going to mention that they get this from some highly exotic source that, you know, you're not supposed to talk about. And it doesn't mean that they duplicated Roswell technology, obviously. If you've got this very advanced piece of tech that you've got your 10 most brilliant scientists looking at for a few years, they may not be able to duplicate its properties, but they might get some really good ideas out of that process. And so you've got innovation in that regard, and that's certainly not going to translate into a Wikipedia entry.
Now, in the case of Colonel Corso, The problem I have is that those who are skeptical of him will show chapter and verse why maybe he exaggerated his credentials. Maybe there were things in the way the book was edited by the co-author, unnamed
here.
Oh,
yeah.
Right.
Right.
Bill Barrett.
Kind of, well, now we mentioned him, but the point being that...
Why would we not mention Bill Burns? Excuse me, I just don't know why. Why would we not mention him? Are we all responsible for whatever we write? I mean, why would we not mention him?
Well, I think we're just being because of the feeling that maybe he embellished a little bit of the book. But let's point out, regardless.
I mean, did he?
Absolutely.
I had a discussion with Bill about this because he and I indirectly had some words on this matter a number of years ago where I had overtly, I just stated that, I mean, everything points to the fact that he really got this book out really to get it out for the 50th anniversary of Roswell. The book wasn't ready. It was littered with mistakes. You can't blame them on Corso. Corso was in his 80s. He was had this handwritten massive document that really wasn't readable as a book, to be honest with you. And Burns is a writer, and he made it readable as a book, but there were a lot of mistakes in there.
I think Bill Burns then owes it to the public to come forward and annotate what he knows to be different and improve it.
Well, he said to me, because after this all came out, we talked, and he said, well, look, you don't realize the pressure that you're under. When you have a Simon Schuster contract, it's got to be out by such and such a date. I said, yeah, I get that. He said, the thing is, we had planned, once we realized that there was all these mistakes, he said that he and Phil Corso had planned to do another edition to correct it, and then Corso died in June of 98.
Now, I understand from Burns, to be fair to everyone, is that in the final days after the book was published, he was in pretty bad health and couldn't even help that much while the book was being edited. We'll get into more of that in a moment. Rich Dolan, Bryce Abel joining Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast. The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Whether it's personal mail, whether it's business email, you want reliable, dependable delivery, freedom from spam, freedom from viruses. Well, Polaris Mail offers professional email hosting services for your personal or small business use. Each account uses 25 gigabytes of storage, an easy-to-use webmail interface, and full mobile sync. Sign up today for a 30-day free trial at PolarisMail.com, PolarisMail.com.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It just stopped responding. It took hours before it returned, but I'd already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Check it out. iWeb.com. That's iWeb.com.
Now at DeseretFoodStore.com, sign up for a one-month supply of delicious food for only $99 with free shipping. That's right, only $99. Gourmet restaurant-style meals with a 30-year shelf life. Packaged in heavy-duty Mylar bags for easy transport and freshness. Meals like stroganoff, lasagna, teriyaki, five-bean chili, granola pancakes, and much more. Visit DeseretFoodStore.com, spelled D-E-S-E-R-E-T, foodstore.com, or call 801-444-1444. Food for now, food for life.
37 things to hoard. Do you have the 37 crucial food items you can't survive without? When disaster hits and mobs go crazy grabbing food off the shelves, your family may be without food or waiting in long food lines. Prepare now at 123survivalplan.com. That's 123survivalplan.com. Many people don't have these 37 food items. Learn what you need to hoard now at 123survivalplan.com. Watch the video over 1 million people of you to discover the 37 food items that will sell out first when disaster strikes at 123survivalplan.com.
Survival is not about the end of the world. It's not about a hypothetical plane crash or the latest violent storm. Survival is about the satisfaction of knowing you can take care of yourself and your family in any situation, anytime, anywhere. CampingSurvival.com was started in 1956. No, not the .com part, the survival part. CampingSurvival.com has over 17,000 urban, wilderness, and preparedness items. Supreme customer service. Very low shipping and no games. We look around to make sure we have the lowest prices, and CatPinkSurvival.com is 100% USMC veteran owned. Don't base your survival on the latest spring up on the internet company. Do business with an authority on survival. CampingSurvival.com. Use coupon code GCN at checkout, and CampingSurvival.com will take 5% off your order. CampingSurvival.com. Confidence born of preparation.
Emergency Essentials has Mountain House deals in June. Going on now. Emergency Essentials, the 24-year leader in emergency preparedness supplies, does it again. With up to 25% off Mountain House foods. Don't miss these savings. All Mountain House number 10 cans are 20 to 25% off during the month of June only at BePrepared.com. Mountain House foods have superior taste and a scientifically proven 25-year shelf life because they start with fresh or frozen foods, then cook, prepare, and finally freeze dry them. All the goodness, flavor, and taste are locked in as if handmade from scratch. Mountain House, the same great meals enjoyed by campers and outdoorsmen the world over. Hurry, now through June 30th. Call 800-999-1863 to experience exceptional customer service and the BePrepared.com low price guarantee. That's 800-999-1863. The choice is clear. Be unprepared or BePrepared.com.
This is Kurt Sutton, the author of UFO Mysteries, and you're listening to the Paracast.
With Gene and Chris, we have Bryce Abel and Richard Dolan. The book is AD, After Disclosure. But we're talking about another book that has some sort of disclosure early on, at least some years back, The Day After Roswell, written by Philip Corso, and very much rewritten by Bill Burns. And the question being, of course, how much was changed? A lot of skepticism there.
Let me just add, I mean, I don't want to bash Bill Burns on
well,
this.
Well, it's not just trying to be fair about it, that's all.
Exactly. And, you know, I could completely get the fact that he was under a massive deadline. And sure, there's all this pressure. You want to get it out for the 50th anniversary of Roswell. That's a no-brainer. You want to do that if you can. And, you know, life intervenes. The best laid plans of mice and men, right? So I understand that. And if his health was poor, fine. The bottom line, though, is unfortunate because Corso, who I think should be considered, actually, a valid individual in all this. I can give you some reasons why I think. But his book is forever tainted. It's actually going to be kicked to the curb, essentially, and it will really never have the power and gravitas that it could have had it been done a little more slowly, a little more deliberately. And unfortunately, you know, whoever, even if it's no one's fault, the moment's gone, and it's not coming back. And the reason I think Corso is to be listened to is that the people around him who knew him, every single person stood by this guy. I mean, he got Senator Jesse, who was it, Jesse Helms? No, who did his forward?
Strom Thurmond,
right. Yeah. Who was that?
Now, I'll tell you, ladies and gentlemen, to show you how old I am, I interviewed Strom Thurmond. And it's very interesting about his interview technique. We'll get back to the show in a second here, but just parenthetically, I interviewed him. I was working at a country radio station in Charleston, South Carolina as news director a long, long time ago. When you interviewed him, his face was always pointed down to the floor. I never understood that. Okay, but that's the point. The first printing of the book, Strom Thurmond's intro was there. Then he said, no, I'm not going to be in a saucer book, and they had it removed.
Exactly, but he spoke about Corso, talked him up to the skies and said he was a hero. And Corso did have some street cred here. He had already had some credibility on the MIA mission issue, which he had talked about at some length. And, you know, he was a man who had a very significant amount of respect in Washington military circles. He was not a bit player here. And so he comes out with this statement on Roswell as a very old man with a manuscript that, my understanding, was very poorly put together and really not readable by anyone other than maybe researchers who would have a particular interest. It wasn't in book form. So and of course, if you're writing from memory in your 80s, how many things do you think you're going to get wrong, honestly? So I can't fault the man for getting certain things wrong about, like, the death of Frank Wisner, which I think he got completely wrong, the CIA executive. And a lot of other things were just not really right, and they were factually very easy to pinpoint.
Now, the one thing about a situation like that, if you're rushing the book out, you don't have a fact checker at the publisher who can stop and say, okay, we have a couple of months left. Let's check each and every fact against the public record. Let's make sure it's right. But if you're rushing to get the damn thing out, you can't do that. I understand that. But I think the other question is here, maybe some of those early developments did come from alien technology. That goes back to the 40s and 50s. Since then, what?
Well, you know, part of me, as I hear this, I go, well, I'm not interested in this other guy's book as much as ours, and I would ask because I can't prove those things. I can't really say what the answer is to a lot of that. I personally think somebody should now write a book about Philip Corso and look into all those things. In the same way that when Whitley Strieber first came out with Communion, I believe another author wrote a book called Report on Communion to look into it. So I think that kind of self-analysis in the ufological community is a good thing. And by the way, one of the reasons I was so profoundly honored to be Richard's partner on this thing is that I believe he is the preeminent historian of this of our time. And Rich is not a guy that accepts everything anybody says to him. And these things, I can accept more things because I'm a dramatist and I don't have to have the standard of proof. But Rich has been very strong on these things. And when we were working our way through After Disclosure, I think there were a lot of places where we wished we had a fact checker, and we wished we had more time, but we sucked it up and did it anyway. And I think that obviously one of the things the ufological community could do is bring its game up as much as possible, so that the people who are not the believers and are not the ones who are predisposed to accept the story that we're telling will have a better shot at understanding it. And so I think all of us have to accept a higher standard when we're talking about nonfiction.
Now, the reason I even brought up Corso is because this is something that impacts the disclosure, because it's saying that inventions that we know about were made with alien technology. If that's the case, that's a very important fact.
I remember what my point was going to be about that. I'm sorry. If there, in fact, are reverse engineering that has been going on, then in a post-disclosure environment, all of that's going to come out. The four of us sitting here talking about it right now, Rich probably has some facts that he can bring forward. I know there's a couple of good cases. But most of all, when you talk about after disclosure, what we're saying is that's an avalanche of stuff. All of the things that got created or were manipulated because of some kind of alien or other technology is going to come forward. One of the things that Rich and I have been very strong on is that history will need a complete rewrite.
The other question I would have to raise also is how much alien technology could we even reverse engineer? I mean, if I took the current iPhone with the voices and all that stuff, of course it doesn't exist if you don't have the internet, but I hand my iPhone to somebody living in 1912 when Edgar Rice Burroughs wrote John Carter of Mars, A Princess of Mars. I hand it to Edgar Rice Burroughs and say, here, look at this. He's not going to know what it is. The best scientists of that era could barely figure it out. So how would you figure out technology that might be hundreds or thousands of years removed from us?
No, exactly. The best you could do is realize that such and such a thing is possible.
We all hear stories, and they're all great stories. I heard a story the other day about Joe Holden, who I believe had something to do with the jet afterburner, and how he was called in by the military to take a look at a craft that they had in a hangar, and they couldn't get it open, and Holden was able to climb up on a ladder and look inside a window and see a dead alien in it. Now, I hadn't heard that story before. Maybe you guys have heard it. But how do you prove a story like that? That's kind of my point. If there's reverse engineering, the people who have reverse engineered it have all signed oaths. And most of those people take those oaths very seriously. The people that haven't signed oaths are actually not told exactly what the technology is so that they can't be a good source of leaking about it. And then there's the people like the Holden story where you say, I'd like another source on that before I pass it around as true. Where do you get these sources? That's the hardest place that we're in right now. So disclosure, rather than being brought forward because we're able to prove an old document, is probably a present tense thing. Something's going to happen in the present tense that is going to have to break this floodgate open rather than something in the past.
I think a mass sighting is still probably the top of the list. Something that will be recorded, seen and recorded multiply by enough people that it's like hitting the sweet spot of the baseball, and that's going to hit it out of the park. There's a lot of sightings that go on all the time, and I think we're getting better and better at being able to record and communicate these, and I just think it's a matter of time.
Chris, we have a number of questions from our listeners at the PowerCast forums at forum.theparacast.com. In the thread that is always called the question bank, we devoted a section for questions for Rich and for Bryce. Chris, you want to comb some of that, maybe dig up a few questions that may move this discussion forward before we get back with it?
Well, you know, again, we have discussed, I think, points that sort of are addressed by some of the questions. But here's one from SRI, who's been a member of the PowerCast for a year and a half. And he says, according to Jacques Vallée, retired Colonel John Alexander, Mr. Robert Bigelow, disclosure has already been realized. However, confirmation is yet to be achieved. What ye say to this? Now, Bryce did kind of address this earlier in the show, but what about John Alexander, for instance, in his recent book, saying that there's really nothing to disclose?
I don't buy the idea that disclosure has already been realized. Come on. I mean, I'm sorry. I just dismissed that. That is not what's happened, at least by my definition. Now, we can parse words and we can go, well, in that some people know and that those who want to know can know, but I'm talking about disclosure where it affects the whole world because the whole world learns that the world is different than the way they thought it was. That's disclosure to me.
I would add, I did a 2-hour radio debate with John Alexander earlier this year. It was moderated, in fact, by Leslie Kane. And my own opinion is I think I picked him apart and then some. He made this argument with me, thank you, that disclosure has already been made, and that is the governments have stated what they know, and that's just nonsense, absolute nonsense.
I know we had Stanton Friedman and John Alexander debate on the PowerCast not too long ago. So there you go. We have Bryce Zabel and Rich Dolan with Gene and Chris. You're in
the PowerCast.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, Ted Anderson announcing a great way to listen to radio on the telephone. By calling 760-569-7700, you'll be hearing GCNLive.com programs in seconds. Come to GCNLive.com, find your favorite host's dedicated phone number, and hear them 24-7. You heard me right, every show has a dedicated phone number. Stop by GCNLive.com and bookmark their number today. And again, that's 760-569-7700. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.